Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
General Flynn is a wonderful man. I think he's been treated very, very unfairly by the media, as I call it, the fake media in many cases. Things are being leaked. It's criminal action. And it's been going on for a long time before me. And people are trying to cover up for a terrible loss that the Democrats had under Hillary Clinton.
That right there, the President of the United States defending General Flynn, who was kind of fired, is kind of what happened there. And, of course, what's taken place is there's lots of leaks. The White House is a mess, man. It's a mess in a lot of ways. Not so much the way that it is functioning inside, but the perception of outside people looking in is they need to get their act together. I've told you this over and over again, and I'll get somebody that's going to text me in the next few minutes. Feel free to do so. 323-538-2423 or call me. 844-DIG-CHAD. For those of you who can't spell, 844-344-2423. By the way, I can't spell either, so don't make me feel bad. But optics in this world, perception, reality. And when you don't get in front of something, when you can't get yourself in front of something, even though it's ripe for you to do so, the media is at your beck and call. Get yourself in front of something. Put the fire out sooner rather than later. How do brush fires work? It starts out little, then the embers start to get in the air and they float around. Next thing you know, boom, it spreads. That's what's happening now. People are digging. The media is digging. They're looking. All of a sudden, we're starting to hear rumblings that, hey, guess what? Several people during the election cycle and the run-up to the presidency were contacting Russia on numerous occasions. One just Flynn. Now, we live in a world that is totally different with this president because he has so many people that have business dealings around the globe that contacting some of these people is probably not out of the norm. This is just something they do, right? I do this all the time. This isn't something that's... I have friends over here. Optics, perception. Get in front of it. That's all you have to do. Come out, address it quick, put it to bed, move on. You're doing some good things. People are excited. The Dow's moving forward. It looks like we're starting to pick up here. There's a sense, especially in the business community, which is where we all live because we all need money. We all make money. Money is the lifeblood of what we do each and every day. It's why we get up and go to work, put food on our table. It is the lifeblood of what you and I do. You can talk about all the other stuff, but the truth is you don't work. Most of you don't work because you love what you do. Very few of us are in that position. You live for the weekend, you live for your kids, you live for your hobby, you work out of necessity. If you can make a little bit more money doing that, feel a little bit safer, guess what? Great. But we're not going to hear about that because we're going to hear about Flynn. We're going to hear about the Russians. We're going to hear about the Flynn. We're going to hear about Russia. And inside of there, he's right. They're still trying to scratch their heads. They're doing the same thing the Democrats are today. Looking at him, then looking back 2.5 months ago, then looking at Trump, and then looking back 2.5 months ago, and going, the same thing. You don't think the Atlanta Falcons don't wake up every single morning and go, how are we up by 25 points and we lose? You don't think the Seattle Seahawks don't wake up every day and thinking, we could have just handed the ball to him, Marshawn Lynch, and we'd have scored a touchdown. And we'd beat the Patriots. They're going to relive that moment all the time. So some of what he said is true. But he's taking the media down a notch. That's that separation, right? This is my good media. This is the bad media. This is my good media. I'm going to talk to CBN. And I'm going to talk to Town Hall. And I'm ignore the rest of you who hate me. Don't do that. Take them head on. Because the more that you do that, the bigger the hole is you're going to dig. Take them head on. If you've got nothing to hide, and I don't think there's anything here, then take them head on. Take them head on. Nancy Pelosi, who is being, well, she's being Nancy Pelosi. She's out there in front, too, doing what Nancy Pelosi does, which is railing against anything that's not Nancy Pelosi's side of the aisle.
Flynn is just a glaring reflection of the consistently dangerous and incompetent conduct of the Trump administration. By whose authority did he have his conversations, and who did he report to? We see new evidence of the financial, personal, and political grip the Russians have on President Trump. The Trump White House has a lot to answer for.
Yesterday, I don't know if you saw her and Elijah Cummings, they bit on a fake tweet by somebody that set up a, I don't know if it was a General Flynn, you know, Twitter account, and they bit on it. You know, the guy had apologized, said he did all this. And they just kept reading it and stuff. And it makes them look bad. This is why nobody trusts you. That's why nobody trusts CNN. That's why nobody trusts, you know, people on the left don't trust Fox. People on the right don't trust MSNBC or CNN. Optics, get in front of it. That's all you got to do. Optics, get in front of it. Come out today. How hard is it to say? Hey, let me tell you guys something. I think Flynn's a great guy. He made a mistake. He was worried. We had to do the right thing, which was let him go. We're going to bring somebody else in that is going to do the job, and we feel great about that. There's nothing else to see here. There's nothing else going on. And let them ask questions. Get out in front of it. Get out in front of it. One of the other things is people are worried about the leaks. Worried about the leaks. It's going to be leaks. Of course there's going to be leaks. There's always leaks. That's part of the press relationship. You build a something with a rapport with reporters. That's where they get their sources. Right? Because A, inherently, as human beings, we can't keep our mouth shut and we got to talk. But B, it's a channel of communication. It keeps the government somewhat honest when somebody can come out with something, especially if you feel something untoward is happening in our country. An anonymous source said, of course there's going to be leaks. Not just because that's what happens in the world that we live in. Again, very few of us could keep really good secrets. Secondly, you can't insult the intelligence community over and over again, and then not have them pissed off at you. Some people are blaming the Obama administration because they gave him wide powers about 8 days before he was sworn in. They gave him wide powers to listen and to do several different things, kind of spread it out and allowed them to share information amongst each other. I told somebody today that should have happened on September 12th, 2001 is when that should have happened. Optics, huge in the world that we live in. Huge. Should there or shouldn't be investigation? Did he do something wrong? Should we prosecute him? I just saw a little while ago they took away his security clearance, at least temporarily. I'm like, who cares? He's not doing that job anymore. What does he need security clearance for? You're not doing that job. I would hope they would take his security clearance away. It was stupid. It was a mistake. It was somebody that was overeager to please, somebody who had a relationship with people over there. And in this industry that we are used to being in, which is the political realm where only politicians roam, and they've never really done much outside of politician stuff. Having somebody who's got a lot of people out there who are not classically politicians, and having somebody like Flynn who has had a relationship with somebody, it's going to happen. You know, they're still getting their sea legs. But the best way to get your sea legs is to get out there in front of this and put an end to the stupidity and the speculation. If you give them nothing to talk about, there's nothing to talk about. If you give them nothing, they'll find something to talk about. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chadatchadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Happy Hump Day, Wednesday, getting you over that hump. We got so much stuff today. So much stuff. Crazy. What do you hear this Mickey Mouse story? And it is Mickey Mouse kind of story about Mickey Mouse. I just want to let you guys know. Marco Rubio said some things the other day that I thought were fantastic. and that really point at the problem in Washington. And right now in America, we got your urban word of the day. How are we as far as the economic freedom goes? Where do you see these new numbers about economic freedom here in this country? It'll make you sick. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Mom! 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 Mommy! 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 Mama! Mama! Ma! Ma! Mom! Mom! Mom!
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
If I did that to my mom, she would beat me. And she'd say, I'm not your mom. I'm like, oh, you're the worst, Mary. Kids, I think every one of us can relate to this next word because it's time now for your urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Your urban word of the day. I think every one of us in some way, shape, or form can relate to this. And I think right now at the White House, a few of the people are actually on this. The struggle bus. It's an imaginary bus representing a state of perpetual struggles or difficulties. A metaphor that relates physically riding a bus, going through hardships. Every one of us in life has been on the struggle bus at times. Are you currently on the struggle bus? Not to be confused with the short one. We're talking about the struggling bus. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
The cranium indeed. Economics. Economy. We deal with it every day. All of us. Doing something, right? You're getting something at Starbucks or your local coffee place. You're getting a donut. You're putting gas in your car. You're paying your car payment. You're going to work. You're making a little bit of money. You put money in. Everybody's got money. Economy. How free are we in this country economic-wise? Well, for those of you out there who are big fans of the president that just left office, Obama, he didn't help the economy a lot. I know a lot of people tell, well, what about all the jobs? He brought back a lot of $9 and $10 an hour jobs. And then people bitched about that because they wanted $15 and $20 an hour jobs. Wasn't good enough. Was not good enough. Well, if you don't think that he didn't put a little hurt into us as far as the economic side of things, and I'm not blaming everything on him, but I'm blaming a lot of stuff that he did inside of the administration and the Democrats for a lot of this. Currently, we are not only struggling, we are 17th out of 180 nations as far as economic freedom. We lag behind nations like Switzerland, Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom. We are mostly free, which is the second tier of the freedom. Think about that. We dropped into that in 2010, and we have struggled. One of the big reasons? Pretty simple. President Obama had a Washington first government-centric approach to policymaking, meaning he expanded government, he expanded regulations, he looked to tax things. When you do something like that and you make it a centralized feel, guess what happens? The freedoms that entrepreneurs enjoy and businesses enjoy go away. When you've got to pay more in taxes, when you have to pay more in fees, when it used to be step A to step B, and now to get to step B, you have to go to D to F to G. You have to pay G, then you have to go to X, you have to pay X, then you have to come back around to A again, then you can go to B. Those are a lot of steps. That's a lot of regulation. That's a huge pain in the ass. That slows down economic growth. When you expand government, you slow down growth. Every president's going to expand government. Now, it's at the rate that you expand it, that that depends on, you know, Bush, Reagan, Carter, Clinton, second Bush, first Bush, Bush in a hand, Bush in a feather. It doesn't matter. They all expand government because we have an expanding nation. There's going to be some stuff that we need. Now, we can consolidate government. We can slow the growth of government. But at what it expands decides on how the economy grows. When you turn things centralized into government and say government is the end all to be all, which is the left's dream, right? They want to turn, you know, some people turn to God, some people turn to themselves, some people turn to their friends, and a lot of people on the progressive side want to turn to government to fix problems. Well, government likes it when you come to them, and government likes to be controlled. I tell you today, if you came up with the greatest idea in the world, if producer Anthony and I got together with Phil and all of us got together and we created this most amazing thing in the world where we could teleport ourselves from A to B, and by the time we got there, we'd be 30 pounds lighter and we would be in better health and we could go anywhere in the world and it doesn't cost anything, government would figure out a way how to screw it up because they need a piece of it. Slow it down, regulate it, tax it, because government is the greediest of all. Government is the absolute greediest. Look at the record revenues we take in. Fees, taxes. We spend, 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 spend. But when we're behind Chile, Ireland, UAE, Canada, Estonia, Australia, Switzerland, New Zealand, Singapore, Hong Kong, when we're behind Estonia, we got problems. We got issues. We've got issues. It's not that people don't want to. It's just that they realize the headache that is government makes it harder to become a success. That's why I think a lot of people in the business of business look at this president and think, lower regulations, lower taxes, out of our way. Let's take the shackles off and see what this economy can do. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program 323-538-2423. Marco Rubio, the king of free speech? Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, we just got word that the day without a women's general strike. I was going to say with March, but I guess you don't really march to without a woman, right? Unless that be the guy thing to do. Okay, so today, by the time we leave here, guys, producer Phil, producer Anthony, we need to figure out our day of lazy, our protest to the protesters. What day will we be doing it? We need to get a logo. We need to get a sign. We need to set up Twitter and a Facebook, and we need to protest the protesters, and we need to make this happen. This is no more. It is happening. I'm over it. I'm done. Whininess. Producer Phil just read me the greatest sign. What did it say, Phil?
Said, I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things I cannot accept.
Ah, there we go. Changing the rules. You know what's great? Hey, you know what we should do? We should tell the Atlanta Falcons they actually won the Super Bowl because they can't change the fact that they didn't. We'll just give them all pretend rings. Tell them they're pretend world champions. Oh, my God. I know you didn't win an Oscar, but here's one. Insane. It really is. So we got that. Look, I'm all about freedom of speech, protesting. I'll stand by these women if they want me to. Probably hit on a few of them. That's not the point. That is horrible, Chad. You misogynistic pig. But I'm just saying that it's a bit much. It really is. It really is. Like, this is the way that I start to look at stuff like this is, you're mad. Like, some of these women I've talked to, they're not fans of men. Not that men today have done anything to them. But men in the past, to their moms, to their grandmothers, the misogynistic way that they were rulers of the house, and the way, you know, they're men. It's like being mad at my son being a 6.5-year-old little boy because he's a boy. Like he did anything. It's crazy. But the march is set and it's ready to roll, and it's not a march. I wonder how many people are not going to show up. And here's the thing. You have a woman that comes to you, right? And she's at your work. This is where you're in trouble. So you have a woman that comes to you and she's at her work and she's like, you know, I'm going to take this day off regardless of whether or not I believe in any of this crap, right? It's what she's thinking to herself. And she goes and she decides to say, if you don't let me take this day off, right? Because you're now an employer. You know this is coming on March 8th. If you don't let them take this day off with the way social media is, ooh. Now, if it's a woman that's running the company and she says, no, your ass will be here, then you're on your own there, right? You're on your own there. But if it's a man, you're in that catch 22. You're like, I really need so-and-so to come in, right? Because like if Nancy doesn't come in, ooh, jeez, we need stuff done that day. But if I don't, oh, jeez, I'm going to be in trouble. Now I'm going to be in trouble. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text your hate to me or your love or whatever it is that you feel you need to text. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Everybody talked about Marco Rubio's speech inside of the GOP side of things, that he gave the speech the other day on the floor talking about things that actually need to be talked about, need to be shared, need to be said in our divisive, nasty little world that we're all living in right now that shouldn't be as divisive as it is, shouldn't be as nasty as it is, but for whatever reason, people are just, we have now chosen sides. We have, we've got ourselves in a situation where we're arming ourselves with every kind of armor and weapon at our disposal to fight each other at every turn. And while people cheered on Elizabeth Warren for being this, you know, this hero of free speech, this martyr that fell upon a sword, and, you know, how she was shut out of everything and how she was kept quiet and how she was shut down and free speech was torn away from her. I actually like the fact that, you know what? Marco Rubio came out and he said some stuff that was very true. And if anybody should be looked at as somebody who has taken the free speech and actually done some good with it in the last couple weeks in Washington, it is Marco. And I like what he had to say because I think it was aimed at both sides of the aisle. And sometimes you need to smack people upside the head. Take a listen.
I don't know of a single nation in the history of the world that's been able to solve its problems when half the people in a country absolutely hate the other half people in that country. This is the most important country in the world. And this body cannot function if people are offending one another, and that's why those rules are in place.
And of course, she was talking about the fact that, yes, Elizabeth Warren, while that day had said some stuff over the several weeks running up to Jeff Sessions being, you know, voted in as the attorney general, had said some very harsh things and had been very harsh on numerous occasions and it had called him, you know, several different things, insulted him, racist, things of that nature. And they, you know, they invoked, was it Rule 19, super double, triple secret probation. And they sat her down. They put her in timeout. Essentially, they put her in timeout. And the left and people hailed her. I think you should have let her speak because, again, it's the optic side of things. But it's divisive and it's nasty and it's frustrating. Me as an American, I like to see things get did. And I think that if it was a man, we wouldn't have said so much. We would have just moved on. But because it was a woman. But even then, just because you're a woman, you're no longer a protected species. We can't say anything, right? You can't say anything because you're going to get in trouble. As we talk about the day without a women general strike, you can't say anything. No, don't say anything. But I like what he had to say there. I love what he had to say there. Why can't we have a conversation? Why can't we talk? How is it that we're going to get ahead in life? Imagine if you work somewhere where nobody on one side of the room did any work that they were going to share with you, and the other side of the room did some work that they were going to share with you, and you both needed you guys, your work, to come together as a puzzle piece to actually produce something. How would you like that? What if we were rowing and the left side says, I'm not going to row because the right side's doing it. And all we do is go in circles, because that's what I feel like we do in politics. We're going in circles. We're spinning our wheels and we're not going anywhere. And we should. I have news for you. You're not going to get everything you want in life. Sometimes you have to give a little bit. Both sides of the aisle are held hostage by crazy fringe elements who are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That drives me crazy. Continue, Marco. Sorry to interrupt you.
Immediately, as soon as you offer an idea, the other side jumps and says, the reason why you say that is because you don't care about poor people, because you only care about rich people, because you're this or you're that or you're the other. And I'm just telling you guys, we are reaching a point in this republic where we're not going to be able to solve the simplest of issues, because everyone is putting themselves in a corner where everyone hates everybody.
That's right. You can't. You shouldn't hate each other. You can have disagreements. I have disagreements with my friends all the time. But it doesn't. And it's funny, because politics is one of those few places where a disagreement in politics can end friendships, can end relationships, can end love. We saw somebody last week who decided to split with her husband because he voted for Trump. It's silly. I have lots of friends who are left-leaning. I love them as my brothers and sisters. We don't always see eye to eye and stuff, but I show them the respect to listen to what they have to say. I take into account their feelings, and I also take into account their facts first and foremost, and vice versa. Doesn't mean we always have to get along and agree on everything, but you got to think to yourself, we're all Americans. You can't agree on one thing. You can't agree on one damn thing, and your only thing is to come out day in and day out and criticize this president and to go after him. And the right, you did the same thing with Obama. You criticize. You use fear tactics. The left is doing it right now. The left is doing it to the point where this guy's not even got off the schneid. You call the false start before they even fired the gun in the race. When we work together, we go further. Case in point, the 90s. A lot of you out there, oh man, you guys still don't like me? I mean, let's be real. I mean, quietly to yourself, you think, he's an okay guy. Good times right there. Good time, Willie. People hated the Clintons. Rightly so. They did some stuff where you stood back and you're like, oh, geez, we couldn't get away with that. But there were good times there. We had a surplus. The Republicans had power. The Democrats had some power, and vice versa. They came together. They solved problems. They put America first. And then over the last 15 to 20 years, we've become so divided by everything that we can't even carry on a conversation. When I argue with my friends about who's the best soccer player in the world, I don't end a friendship based on whether or not I say Messi or Ronaldo. When I argue with my friends about what's the best movie of the year, by the way, the Batman Lego movie, amazing. When I argue with them about stuff, we talk about stuff and we get into our, I don't get to the point where I'm like, well, you know what? I think this movie's the best movie and I can't stand you. But politics, we do that. And the funny thing is, most of us aren't that passionate about politics. Most of us aren't that passionate about these things because we don't know that much about them in real life. We can't be divided like this and still be the greatest nation on earth. Our founding fathers wanted us to have checks and balances, where there was one side and another side, so one side didn't dominate. But they didn't want us to not work together. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can tweet at us, at Chad Benson Show. At Catonic, I think it is Catononic. It's not possible for all of us to be on Team America if half the country hates everything about America. They always will find fault with it. Yeah, I think that's true. I think a lot of people find fault with certain things. Guilt, white guilt. America guilt, can't stand the Republicans, can't stand conservatives. Conservatives can't stand progressives and liberals and Democrats. It's, you know, both of us love the country for different reasons. But we both love the country. Right? You love cake because you like the sweetness of the chocolate. Somebody else loves the cake because they like the inside, the sponginess of the cake. You guys both still love cake, right? Like a fat kid loves cake. Maybe we should start looking at it like that. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You got that right.
Hit up Chad with a text. The number is 323-538-2423. That's 323-538-2423.
I love that. It's Robert Tilton. Producer Phil, that's that TV evangelist. I didn't know he loved my show so much.
That's awesome.
$80 million a year is what that guy brought in. I'm not asking for anything other than a text now and then. $80 million a year. 235 TV markets nationwide. God, $80 million. Praise the Lord. I didn't know Jesus was such a big business. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. Speaking of business, I don't know if you guys saw this the other day. And Mickey Mouse is in trouble again. I know. We've had him on a few times. He's done some stuff in the past that has been a little risque, I think would be the best way to describe it. His birthday party was just off the chain. I mean, it was. That was another thing you guys talked about there as a urban word. You know, he has a bit of a drinking problem, as we know. He doesn't say no very often, basically is what I'm saying. Well, he was in New York City. He was hanging out with all the rest of the characters in Times Square. And people were on him, and they were great. And so he's like, look, if you want a picture with me, it's going to cost you money. I don't do this for free. He's going the Tom Brady model. He's so famous, you want something signed, you're paying for it. It got a little out of control. It got a little ugly. He was finally arrested. And it wasn't a good scene. My crack team here, led by producer Phil, producer Anthony, and Johnny Toot, we were able to get a hold of the interrogation tapes, and it's not pretty. It
is. Places, New York City, nitty gritty Times Square. I work here. I'm a cop. It was a Monday, February 13th. There was snow on the ground and larceny in the air. My name is Tuesday, Joe Tuesday. I was at the desk when they brought him in. I immediately recognized the ears, but the rest was hard to place. He was eyeing the Cheetos on my desk when I began the interview. What's your name?
Dunya? I'm just kidding. Mickey Theodore Mouse, a.k.a. Steamboat Willie, a.k.a. Mickey.
Are you employed?
Yeah, I'm employed.
You allegedly accosted a 21-year-old tourist from Tennessee.
I didn't accost anybody.
You're accused of stealing $120 from this guy. At any time, did you touch him?
How could I touch him? With my hands. I wear gloves. Hello?
Did you try and sell this guy a photo of Minnie Mouse wearing a tutu for 190 smackaroonies?
I did no such thing. Minnie would have neutered me.
Did you later use the credit card information he gave you to ring up three times that amount?
Credit cards. Do I look like somebody who uses credit cards? I can't even get a FICO score. I'm a mouse.
Why, you dirty rat? You better come clean or I'll tell you.
Oh, I like that. Feels cool. Yeah.
Okay. Take him back to the cell. We'll look into your story.
No. Mr. Tuesday, I didn't do it. I had an alibi. I was over on 42nd Street. Trying to score some black market gorgonzola and some pizza. My supplier can vouch for me. And yes, if I have to, I'll rat him out if it gets me out of here.
The story you have just heard was true. Only the facts were changed to protect the Chad Benson Show.
Mickey! Come on. Haven't heard from Mickey. He's laying low. This is one of those things where you're like Tiger Woods. And do you think when you get caught in a situation like this, if you're Mickey, what's the first thing you do? You go to rehab, right? Everybody goes to rehab. So that's where you got to send Mickey. Could you imagine Mickey Mouse in rehab?
I'm Mickey Mouse. I'm an alcoholic. I gotta, you know what? It's busy. I'm very busy. It's stressful running a giant amusement park and a movie company and ESPN's killing us and you guys just don't get it. You don't get it. I'm a 6-foot mouse.
Kim Jong-un's brother is dead. Killed by fembots who apparently poisoned him with needles in Kuala Lumpur. Man, the Uns do not like themselves. Did you see his brother? He looked like the Zach Galifianakis of the Un family. Yeah, his uncle was killed. They fed him to the dog. The higher you go in that family, the worse it gets. My best bet is to be a distant cousin who lives in a different country. And even then, you may be screwed. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423. This here be the hump day edition of the Chad Benson Show.